This is Radio 4.
Nosey is a long-nosed bugger what can certainly beat the French. There's nobody else can do it. They runs like a frightened wench. The Russians and the Prussians can't do it. They throws down their arms and flees. That great big long-nosed bugger, he fears no artillery. That great big long-nosed bugger, he stands and he fights in a line. If Boney wants to charge him, he says that'll do me fine. Boney can charge him as long as he wants, he'll still be standing there. With his line of redcoat soldiers in a sturdy English square.
Nosey by Alan Prior. With John Roe as Arthur Wellesley, Duke of Wellington, Dennis Hawthorne as his father, Elizabeth Proud as his mother, Michael Cochrane as his brother Richard, and Helena Breck as Catherine Pakenham. The songs selected and performed by Maddie Prior and Rick Camp.
Nosey is a long-nosed bugger what can certainly beat the French. There's nobody else can do it. They runs like a frightened wench. The Russians and the Prussians can't do it. They throws down their arms and flees. That great big long-nosed bugger, he fears no artillery.
The action of the play begins in the year 1851. Nosey.
The Duke of Wellington, Your Majesty.
Ah, my Lord Duke, how good of you to come to see us on such a rainy day, too. Now, please sit, Your Grace. Would you like tea or coffee?
No, thank you, ma'am. Had enough tea in India to last me the rest of my life.
A very long and to us a very valuable life, full of bravery and great deeds of empire.
You're too kind, ma'am.
How old are you now, my Lord Duke?
What? Oh, 82, ma'am.
It's now 1851, so you were born in...
69, ma'am. 1769. Nothing against Madeira, you know.
What? Oh. Madeira. Of course. Can you help yourself?
Pleasure, ma'am. Your butler fellow usually thinks of me on these occasions. Decent little wine, that.
As you know, we do not imbibe. Your Grace, we have a matter to discuss with you. It may seem of small import, and yet we are sorely troubled by it.
Say on, ma'am.
I'm almost afraid to trouble Your Grace with it.
Ma'am, I am Nimaqualla, as we used to say in the East. That is, I have eaten of the king's salt. Therefore, it's my duty to serve wherever and whenever my monarch and the government think it proper to employ me.
We were not thinking of sending you anywhere.
No? Well, then.
It was more a request for your advice, you see.
Glad to give it, ma'am. Been giving people advice all my life. Precious few ever took it. People don't, you know.
I assure you, we will consider very seriously anything that you may have to say on the subject we're about to discuss.
I expect it's the French again, is it, ma'am? Good cavalry, the French. The way Bonaparte used them, like two punches thrown by a pugilist, first a right, then a left. Two columns of cavalry, you see, ma'am.
We were not thinking of the French.
The Prussians, then, I suppose. Never entirely got on with the Prussians. That fellow Blucher too damn late at Waterloo. Want my opinion, meant to be too damn late. You know what the fellow said when he saw London for the first time?
We do not believe we have heard what he
what
said.
What a place to plunder. That's what he said. Fellow's looking at the loveliest city in the world, ma'am. The capital of the empire, ma'am. And all he can say is, what a place to plunder.
A very unfortunate remark, certainly.
The old Blucher was just a rough old soldier, ma'am. Didn't know any better. So, it's the Prussians, is it?
Well, no, Your Grace, in fact, not. You know that we are building the new Grand Royal Exhibition, the Crystal Palace in Hyde Park?
I have seen it, ma'am, as who hasn't?
The point, Your Grace, is this. The glass edifice is very high and contains many trees.
Trees? Under the glass?
The dome is extremely high, you see. The thing is, the sparrows have got in.
Sparrows? Have they?
They're roosting in the trees.
Roosting in the trees inside the glass dome?
Indeed they are.
Oh, they would, I suppose, if they can get in.
They're making a very great deal of mess.
I don't doubt it.
And a very great deal of noise.
Oh, they would, roosting.
And nobody seems to be able to get rid of them. People would shoot at them, but they cannot be sure they would not break the glass. They have also tried to catch the birds in nets, to no avail, I'm afraid.
Mm.
Smart little beggars, sparrows, you know.
And so we wondered if you had anything to suggest.
Is that why Your Majesty has brought me from Apsley House to give Your Majesty advice on how to get rid of the sparrows at the Crystal Palace?
Yes, it is.
Try sparrowhawks, ma'am. That's it. Try sparrowhawks. What?
Father, have it a short audience.
What about some damn sparrows?
What?
You've been to the place, have you?
Where?
This Crystal Palace. Where do you think I'm talking about?
No, no, no. Nobody has yet. Why?
Got sparrows in it, seemingly.
Get in the coach, Father. It's cold.
Get in, Aunt.
Come, take my arm. All right, coachman. Back to Apsley House. Here, put this blanket round your legs.
No, I'm fine. Got me boots on. No need to mollycoddle.
How was the dear Queen?
All about some damn sparrows, you see.
Did you have a glass of wine?
Yes, I did.
But you don't drink these days, Father.
Well, I started again. You can't have a drink at the palace, where can you have a drink? Anyway, butler fellow left it out for me. Couldn't disappoint him.
How are you feeling?
Fine, I'm fine. How are my grandchildren?
They're in splendid form, Father. Their mother thinks you overspoil them.
Rubbish.
Get them overly excited.
Spoil them a bit while they're young. Last them all their lives.
Well, what I can make out, nobody spoiled you, Father.
That's where you're wrong, my boy. Quite wrong. My own father was a very loving man. Irish, of course. And a musician.
Grandmama certainly didn't spoil you, from all I hear.
Your grandmother was fair but hard, like a good army commander. Made a good one. But my father, he was different.
Excellent, Arthur. Most promising.
Thank you, Papa.
Would you like to play again?
If you wish me to, Papa.
Certainly not. That was quite sufficient. You and I cannot talk while that is going on, and so we must talk.
But, my dear, the boy has talent.
No doubt, sir, he does have talent. But it does not help us in our present fiscal circumstances.
We cannot talk of our financial difficulties here, madam.
Then where will you talk of them? For talk of them you must. We face poverty and destitution. Were it not for my own dear family's help.
Arthur, that was very good. Go to your brother's now.
Is everything all right, Papa?
Well, of course it is. What a question. Now, here's a florin for being such an excellent boy. Go on.
Yes, Papa. Goodbye, Mama.
Go along, boy.
Yes, Mama.
You will have him as feckless and silly as yourself. A florin, indeed.
Oh, my dear, he's only 10 years old. With good tuition, he could play excellent.
And what money would that put in his pocket, pray?
He is a gentleman. I'll see you presently, Arthur.
Yes, Papa.
He would play for his own amusement and that of his friends.
Amusement is the last thing we need in this family. You, sir, have amused us out of a house and estate in Ireland and amused us into this damned drafty place in Chelsea where we are now marooned.
Marooned?
Yes, marooned. Where do we go from this place? Tell me that.
Where would you wish to go?
Back to the day I married you, sir, when I would not do it again.
I see.
You do not see. You never see.
You said we must talk. About what?
Our financial position. What else?
That is surely my concern, not yours.
I have not made it my concern, sir, the 20-odd years of our marriage. An ignorant young girl of 20, bowled over by your vast Irish estates and your musical societies and your parties and...
And my money, no
yes,
doubt.
Yes, sir, I admit it. And your money, which is gone. The estates in Ireland are gone. The servants are gone.
Times are hard everywhere, my dear.
Times, sir, are always hard for fools. Sir, your sole victory in the battle of life has been your professorship in music at Trinity College, Dublin.
No small honor.
It put nothing in the purse. In fact, it took hundreds of guineas out of the purse.
I know you despise the arts, I know you have suffered my music all these years. My small triumphs as composer and conductor have meant nothing to you. You despise all of it. The beauty of art, the finer things of life.
I despise people who fiddle while Rome burns.
You are saying I have done that?
All the money you've spent. Hundreds of thousands of guineas improving the estate.
The Archbishop of Dublin was most favorably impressed.
And what use is his favor here in London, where the name Wellesley means nothing and the Irish title of Lord Mornington even less?
You are blessed with a cruel tongue, madam.
That is because I have held it too long. Now it is loose, I mean to use it well. What money do we actually have?
Less than 2,000 a year.
Less than 2,000 a year.
Yes.
It is little enough, but it can be lived on. If we spend nothing, we do not have to spend.
Who would want to live like that, madam?
I would. At least I would know where we stand. I would know how much I can spend on the servants, how much I can spend on the larder, how much on the schooling of the children. Oh, God, why did we ever leave home?
Ireland is no longer safe for people like us. The British garrisons are withdrawing. The Royal Navy does not even command the Irish Sea. There is grave danger of invasion.
Tittle-tattle and rumour.
My responsibility is to this family. You are safe here.
But it is more expensive. Everything. Servants, food, the keeping up of appearances.
Even so.
Oh, that boy plays even when he is bidden not to.
All your sons cannot be like Richard.
Would that they were. Richard will do us proud.
I do not deny it. And like you, I rejoice for him.
But you, of course, prefer the musician.
I hope I show no preference for one son in place of another.
Tell me, sir, apart from the 2,000, what is our financial situation? Exactly.
I have mortgages to the sum of £18,000 against the Irish estate. So, as you say, to all intents and purposes, it is gone. Hmm. And we have further debts of a substantial nature.
What?
Madam...
What?
These financial matters are not of your concern. If you will excuse me, I will go and talk to my son. I fear Arthur will be disturbed by the abrupt way you dismissed him.
Be damned to Arthur's feelings! You've just told me that we are absolutely ruined, that we are finished as a family, that nothing but destitution and ruin face us.
I did not say that. I simply told you the bare financial details as you demanded. I did not tell you my plans to rescue us, to remake our fortunes.
What? How?
I know you despise my musical talent, but I have high hopes of it. Dublin is a small pool, but London is an ocean. One success with my oratorio, or even my more popular songs, and we could be saved.
Sir, you are telling me that all that stands between us and penury are your oratorios, and your glees, and your songs.
If you will excuse me, madam.
Oh, my God. Oh, my dear, dear God.
Carry on. That is very good. Excellent. We'll make a splendid musician of you, Arthur.
Do you really think so, Papa?
Well, of course. You have excellent tone.
Do you think I'll be able to play at Eton?
I'm not sure. I don't see why not.
I don't think Richard would approve, Papa.
Nonsense.
He does not think it important.
I wonder what that young paragon does think important.
Latin and Greek and all that stuff.
A good grounding in the classics opens many doors, I grant you. And it enables a man to read the great poets and thinkers of antiquity in the original. No doubt it also trains the mind. But we care naught for that, do we, young fella? Music is our god, our star, our aspiration. Now, let us try one of my own little songs, shall we?
I don't think Mama approves of music in the afternoon.
Nonsense. Whatever you do, Arthur, you must promise me never to give up your music, to strive at it and enjoy it. The enjoyment's the thing, you see. Whether you're any good or not doesn't really matter. It's loving it that matters. Loving what you do. Do you see, old man? Do you understand?
I think so, Papa.
Arthur, you must not tell anybody what I'm going to say to you now. Promise.
I promise.
A father is not supposed to have a favourite son. You know that, Arthur. Not supposed to.
Yes, Papa.
But I have one.
Oh?
Who do you think that could be?
Richard, of course, Papa.
Oh? Why Richard?
Because he's so accomplished.
No, not Richard.
William, then.
Why William?
William is so reliable, Papa.
Not William. So who can it be?
Me, Papa?
You, of course. Why not you?
Well, Mama is always saying I'm not as clever as the others.
Cleverer?
Do you really think so?
Of course I do. Can William read music?
Well, no.
Can Richard play the violin?
No.
There you are. Cleverer than both of them, aren't you?
Well...
Of course you are. Of course you are, old man. You have music in your soul.
No, honestly.
Arthur, you must not be so serious. I'm only teasing you. There's too much seriousness in this house. Afternoon or not, play me a little Bach. Soothe the fevered brow.
Of course, Papa.
Last memory of my old father, that. Buried a year later. Only 45. Had enough. Got out of it, that's my opinion. Only person who loved me. I was the ugly duckling of the family, do you see? Dreamy little fella. Ill a lot. Went to Eton. Hated it, all Latin and Greek. Hated that, too. English is good enough for me.
Sorry, Father, did you say something?
What? Oh, nothing. Just I hated Eton.
Oh, did you?
Brilliant brother. Hard to live up to. Damn hard. I was the fool of the family, do you see?
Arthur, for God's sake, stop that awful screeching. I'm trying to work on its papers.
This, dear brother, is not screeching. It's the Bach A minor concerto.
Yeah, well... Can't you find something else to do?
Pray suggest something.
You sure you're not keen on the army?
Not much. Could play this thing, I suppose.
What, like Papa?
Don't suppose it's an option, really.
Well, of course it isn't. Well, that said, now, are you keen on anything? The church, the law, anything at all?
Can't say I am.
Well, you'll have to do something with your life.
Suppose I will.
But you don't care what?
One thing is as good as another.
I really do give you up.
I would. Most people do.
Mama, I cannot see what can be done with him, except the army.
I fear he has inherited your dear papa's fecklessness.
Yes, indeed. But financially, things are much improved now, are they not?
Oh, indeed, yes. You are an excellent son, Richard. You have saved the family's fortunes. I am most blessed.
And there is further to go. I aspire to the highest seas of empire. India, perhaps.
India?
Mr. Pitt has hinted...
Oh, my dear, such news!
Yeah, but first, Arthur.
Oh, yes, Arthur.
It has to be the army. I've written a letter to a very good friend of mine, the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland. Here.
My dear friend... There is a younger brother of mine, Arthur Wellesley, whom, if you recall, you were so kind as to take into your consideration for a commission in the army. He is here at home at this moment and perfectly idle. It is a matter of indifference to me what commission he gets, provided he gets it soon.
A bit harsh, maybe?
Not at all. Send it today. The boy is only fit for powder.
Thank you.
that's done, old friend. That's the end of that.
Oh, talking to yourself now, eh?
Maybe I was. A sort of farewell, do you see?
Ah. Well, to whom are you saying farewell? There's nobody here.
This.
Your valet. Well, I hardly think you'll have much time to play it in the army.
I don't need to play it again, ever.
What?
Finished with it. I'm a soldier now. I must act like a soldier.
Yes, there's no need to stop playing altogether, is there?
Very great need. Music appeals to the softness and gentleness of man's nature. I must learn to put away childish things, Richard.
Well, the old violin's not exactly childish. I mean, you do play quite well, really. Honestly, people at Eton liked it. Some of them.
No, it's going on the fire. Now! There, into the flames.
Arthur, don't. For God's sake. Father bought that for you. Arthur. My God.
Makes a pretty blaze, don't you think?
That was a terrible thing to do.
No, sir. A necessary thing. A damn necessary thing.
Here I sit on Buttermilk Hill. Who can blame me, cry my fill? Every tear would turn a mill. Johnny has gone for a soldier. Shula, Shula, Shula Gra. His rake and shovel put away. Till he comes back, I'll rue the day. Johnny has gone for a soldier.
So, Major, how much does Trooper Baines weigh now?
Exactly 11 stone 10 pounds.
And how much did he weigh without his full marching equipment?
10 stone exactly.
10 stone. So Baines is carrying 1 stone and 10 pounds of equipment every step he takes, correct?
Correct, sir.
Isn't going to carry 20 miles in a day, eh, Baines?
Oh, done it yourself many a time, sir. Oh, falling, Major Fitzroy.
What is all this, Wellesley?
Trying to work out how much a fellow carries into battle.
Curious idea. How much would that be?
Almost a stone and a half.
Well, I'm damned.
You would be if you had to carry it. What are army regulations on this, I wonder?
It is not laid down anywhere in army regulations that a private soldier carry a stone and a half into battle, and it ain't laid down anywhere that it don't.
Well, that's as clear as mud.
Ensign Wellesley, I wouldn't try to change the British Army in a week if I were you. Sergeant Major, get rid of this damn Wayne machine, will you?
Sir, Baines, you and the Major. Right, 1, 2, 3, lift. A quick march.
A word of advice, Ensign Wellesley. I commend you for thinking how these poor fellows are treated. Bad food, little pay, strong discipline, but you have to understand. They are the sweepings of the docksides, the slums and rookeries of the East End of London. All they care about is drink. They are, in fact, sir, scum. Do not concern yourself unduly with their welfare.
Not thinking about their welfare. Thinking about my own. 1 stone and 10 pounds of equipment. If I have to command them in the field, I'd rather they were on their toes, sir, than on their heels.
When exactly do you expect to command these men?
Devilish soon, if I can. Dublin life is turning me into a pauper.
It is damned expensive, I grant you. But why the great hurry?
Met this young woman.
Oh, met a few, from what I hear.
Not one of those, a lady.
Ah, may I ask...
One of the Pakenham girls.
Really? Which one?
Catherine. But her family call her Kitty.
Ah, that one.
Reasons of being so hostile to poor dear Arthur.
I am not hostile to him personally, Kitty, nor is any member of the family. We are merely hostile towards his prospects.
He is an officer in the army. He comes of a good Irish family.
I don't deny it. I'm truly sorry, my dear. I detect you have a genuine attraction towards this young man.
I'd rather marry him than anyone else I've seen in Dublin.
You haven't intimated those feelings to Captain Wellesley.
Of course I haven't.
Yes, well, good. My dear, I am sorry, but I'm only speaking for the family, you see.
Yes, yes, I see. But I do not approve. I will, if necessary, wait for Captain Wellesley. I would like you to tell the family that.
But, dear Kitty, it could be a long wait, you know.
Oh, Arthur, it is lovely to see you again, and I have something for you. It is a locket with my picture. so you will not forget me.
How could I do that? Thank you. I will keep it always, dearest Catherine.
I'm not sure dearest is correct, Arthur. We are not yet betrothed.
No fault of mine. I've got to captain. I'm in the Irish Parliament. I'm ADC to the commanding general in Ireland. Don't know what more I can do.
Well, I think my uncle is chiefly interested in...
money.
Well, yes, it seems so.
Haven't much of that. Don't see much hope of it either.
But surely there must be preferment now your brother Richard is so influential at Westminster.
Westminster isn't Dublin, Kitty.
Oh, well, cheer up, Arthur. Let us dance, shall we?
Ain't put me name on your card, have I? Forgot.
I've put it on. Arthur, do you have to talk in such an abrupt army kind of way? It isn't exactly couth, is it?
Nothing in the army is couth, my dear Kitty. Good evening, Arthur.
Sir!
Dear, I think your mother's wanting a word.
Oh, in a moment, then.
I hear you're on your way to Holland.
I thought that was a military secret, sir.
No such thing in Dublin. You ought to know that by now.
If I was in command, I'd severely punish all tittle-tattlers in or out of uniform. Men's lives and the success of the campaign depend on the utmost secrecy.
Really? Well, I suppose a captain would know about such things.
Arthur, are you going to war?
Hardly war. It's just an expedition.
To drive the French out of Holland, no less.
Oh, Arthur, how exciting!
Not very. Holland's flat, full of canals. Natural country for defense. For attack, not so good.
That sounds pessimistic, almost unpatriotic.
More like realistic, sir, I'd say.
Would you really?
You will be all right, won't you, Arthur?
I'll be in a safe place at the rear.
Will you?
Of course.
Well, I'm not sure I believe you.
I'll be back in a month, you'll see.
Catherine, your mama is waving.
Oh, fiddlesticks! All right. But I shall be back directly, Arthur.
Your servant.
What?
Splendid young lady.
I entirely
agree.
But
of course her family must think of her future.
That is only natural.
In that regard, the family's been thinking and debating your perfectly proper inquiries as to our thoughts.
For which I thank you, sir.
Unfortunately, you may not thank me for my report, which is that the daughter of an Irish peer with no fortune should not marry the brother of an Irish peer with only £120 a year. In addition to his army pay.
That's prettily put.
I regret it, as you must. But I see the sense in it, as you must.
I may come out of this Dutch thing with an improved situation.
On the other hand, sir, you may not come out of it at all.
You're blunt, sir.
I have to be. She's my niece.
Tell me, sir, what sort of rank would you consider proper for a man to hold were he to ask for the hand of your niece, Miss Catherine Pakenham?
I don't know that I can answer that, sir.
Try.
Very well. Let us say, Major General.
Oh, the Grand Duke of York, he had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill, and he marched them down again.
What a day, Arthur! We've got our chance at last! My God, we've waited long enough for it!
Maybe.
You got your promotion. Show them you deserve it.
What does that mean? That I had it because of my brother's influence?
Oh, I should certainly hope so. I got my rank because of my father's influence. What would the British Army come to if merit were the watchword?
I resent that, sir.
Really? When we have the King's brother to command us in Holland? Whereas the French only have seasoned generals who've won battles all over Europe, we have the Duke of York, who's never commanded anybody anywhere. Ha! Our victory is assured, sir.
And when they were up, they were up. And when they were down, they were down. And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down.
Let me look at you, a lieutenant colonel at 24 years of age. Oh, how wonderful you look. Does he not, Richard? Red tunic and gold epaulets. Oh, but so thin.
Haven't eaten much at all for months, Mama. Had a touch of the runs. Damned uncomfortable, the runs, you know.
Well, we'll soon get you fit again.
Were there no apothecaries in the field?
Drunk, mostly. The whole damn army was drunk.
Surely not.
Oh, yes, dear brother. And damn me, I don't blame them. The junior officers were totally ignorant of war. The new recruits were the offscourings of the nation. Criminals, decrepit old men, raw farm boys.
I cannot believe it, Arthur. The British Army?
What else?
The infantry. No good to start with. Went out lacking ammunition, and I never saw a single one of them with a greatcoat. In Holland, sir, in winter, fighting, knee-deep in water, in blasted dikes of that misbegotten country. 25,000 men to the French's 150,000. It was a damn disgrace.
I would not say that too lightly. After all, you came out of it rather well. They know your name on Horse Guards Parade.
Be damned to them. Most of the officers and all of the staff were got away, but we left 4 men in every 5 behind us, dead.
Easy does it, Arthur.
That fact should be shouted from the housetops. A shambles, sir, is what it was. A damn shambles.
Well, all I can say is that you're spoken well of by people who matter. People who...
I'm astonished that they even know my name.
Richard has seen that they do, Arthur.
Well, I thank you for that. How goes it with the young Mr. Pitt? How old is he now?
A year younger than you. He's 23, Arthur.
Nobody is concerned, certainly not Mr. Pitt, about Holland and the French.
Well, they should be. The French aren't going to vanish. They're getting...
India! That is what concerns Mr. Pitt and all of us in government. Arthur, there are vast fortunes to be had in India. The merest clerk who goes there for a few years comes back home with money enough to last him a lifetime. Now, perhaps I shouldn't say it. But I have hopes of high office in India.
How high?
The very highest.
Oh, Richard.
But, Mama, that is between us in this room.
India? Is it true? Is it really so full of riches?
It's full of fierce rajas and princes who don't intend to let us take them.
Richard, should Arthur not think seriously about India?
Well.
If I am to get the money to marry, India might be an answer.
I really don't know why you're so set on this Pakenham child. The family has no money.
We don't have much ourselves, do we, Mama?
No, but we have expectations.
Which center, dear brother, implacably upon India. Unless, of course, you wish to remain a lieutenant colonel living on his army pay all your days.
Damn me, I'm in debt up to my eyebrows as it is.
Of course, the rank of colonel might be enough for the Pakenhams. Major general, indeed. They'll be asking you to be Archbishop of Canterbury next. Now, more tea, anybody?
So there we were, my dear Kitty, old Fitzbrian and me, up to our knees in water, so thick with mud the Frenchies never even saw us in the dark.
If they'd only listened, they'd have heard our teeth chattering.
From fear?
From cold, my dear. Damnably cold place, Holland.
Ah, there you are, Arthur. Well, sir, the Dublin newspapers are full of your exploits.
And Arthur is a lieutenant colonel now, Uncle.
Splendid, yes, splendid.
If you'll excuse me, I will get myself a glass of cooling lemonade.
Fiery one there. I think she really means to marry you, Captain. Colonel Wellesley.
But what do you say, sir? Does Colonel do it?
I'm afraid not quite. I'm sorry.
I see. Well, I'm sailing for India soon anyway.
India? Oh, they tell me a man can make money there.
If he don't get himself killed doing it.
A soldier is always at risk, sir.
No possibility of any betrothal before I go.
I would say none, sir. But, of course, India, if a man's prospects were good there, could make a difference. Indeed it could. It's been most pleasant to meet Colonel Wellesley. As you know, there's no difficulty between us save the fiscal one. On the contrary.
I thank you for that, at least, sir.
Our feelings are... Ah, here is Catherine. I'll leave you young people to your dancing.
Your servant, sir.
What did he say?
He said, not yet.
Not even now you're a colonel? But why, Arthur, why?
It's still the money.
Money? Nothing but money. What can we do?
Damned if I know, my dear. Except I'd better get myself a fortune.
But how on earth will you do that?
India.
India? But you might never come back. Half the people who go die... It's all wars and terrible fevers. It's privation and hardship and everything that is hell on earth.
Even so, my dear.
But I may never see you again, Arthur.
Oh, you will. Count on it.
It'll be years.
I have no doubt of it.
But how will you exist without our friendship for so long? Amongst all those savages?
I will strive to live through all the hardships and diseases you talk of. If the moment is particularly trying, in battle or in fever, why, I will only need to look at your dear countenance in this locket you gave me, and I will be refreshed.
Oh, Arthur, you really are so brave. So very brave, my dear.
Some talk of Alexander and some of Hercules, of Hector and Lysander and such great names as these. But of all the world's great heroes, there's none as can compare with a crow, row, 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 row to the British Grenadier.
Captain!
100 Gorahs, Arthur.
Seems to have stirred the blood of some of these young officers. I wish there were half as martial in the field.
Oh, we've got a few skirmishes under our belts. It hasn't all been flesh pots.
Too damn much it has, you ask me.
Done your share from what I've seen, night after night.
Wish I hadn't the money it takes.
Oh, Arthur, we're the poor out here. Last week, Sir Philip Francis had 30 people at breakfast, 50 at dinner, 100 for supper at midnight, dancing till dawn. It takes it out of a man.
Then don't do it. It kills half of them. 70 buried in the local cemetery last month. 2 big battles, Fitz, and we could lose India. That's all it'd take.
Lose India?
Do you think these noisy brutes here are going to save it? Toasting each other in jewels of claret? What did we eat at dinner tonight? A calf. Half a Bengal sheep. It's graveyard food in this climate.
Arthur, we all know you never notice what you eat.
Prefer cold meats. You can get up and fight after it. We'll all have to do it, and soon.
Arthur, I don't know why you bother. Your brother's coming out here as Governor General. Matter of fact, I was going to ask you to put in a word for me. I'm still a major. I shall likely die one.
If I know my brother, I'll be lucky if I can put a word in for myself. He's got rather hoity-toity since young Master Pitt started giving him high office.
Come now, Arthur, your brother.
We'll see, we'll see. But he has to handle Tipu and his Marathas, and I can't see him thinking about much else. I'm going, Pitts. Too much damn noise.
Of Hector and Lysander, and such great names as these, but of all the world's great heroes...
Lieutenant Colonel Wellesley, sir.
Come in, Arthur. Come in, my dear fellow. Oh, that's all right, Smythe. No disturbances.
Sir.
Sit down, Arthur.
I must say, you do yourself well, Richard. This place is grander than Buckingham Palace.
My dear brother, I am the Governor General.
Can't see much profit in it for myself up to now.
You defeat Tipu and his Marathas for me, and I'll see you profit.
You shouldn't have declared war on him, you know. Never fight unless you have to, and we didn't. And never fight unless you're prepared, and we ain't.
Do you think General Harris can do it? Is he up to it?
I'd say he has to do it, or India goes.
Do you honestly think that? We could be defeated.
I'm certain of it.
Good God. Look, I have a proposition. Would it help if I came out to the battlefield myself? Let the troops see me.
Richard, what do you know of warfare at first hand?
Nothing, but surely it'd be a good example.
It'd unnerve Harris and it'd unnerve me if you turned up with your elephants and all
that. I wasn't thinking of taking elephants.
Stay here. Let your soldiers fight. It's what you pay them for.
Arthur, it's plain to me you know little of diplomacy and never will.
Diplomacy, my backside. Diplomacy won't beat the Marathas.
Even so, a less direct form of address would be appreciated. I am the Governor General.
Which is why I'm advising you not to make a damn fool of yourself.
Well, perhaps you're right. In military matters, you usually are, aren't you?
Don't know about that.
Can I tempt you to a glass of ice punch?
Never touch it in the daytime.
So damn hot.
Drink that, you'll sweat more.
Very well. Never thought we'd see the day, did we? Me, Governor General, you, well, making a reputation, even in London. Mama's delighted. She talks about you to everybody.
Usually it's you she talks about.
I think it's both of us now.
Glad she's pleased about something I've done.
Well, of course she's pleased. My dear fellow, I think I will have some of that punch. Sure you won't?
Positive.
Ah, far cry from Dublin and you playing your old fiddle, eh? When you threw it on the fire. Well.
Music has a softening influence. I had to shut it out of my life.
Did you miss it?
No point.
Yes, I know, but all the time we were boys, you played. You and dear Papa. Don't tell me you don't miss those times.
I miss them, of course I do. But as I say, there's no point to it.
And Papa? I miss him, you know.
You surprise me.
But I do. He was a splendid man. In his way.
Exactly.
Look, Arthur. Some good news. Colonel Astor has been killed in a duel.
Is that good news?
I've been looking at the army list. There is a possibility that you could be gazetted Major General.
Major General? Did you say Major General?
They come ghostly out of the night, a-riding their milk-white horses, their scimitars a-shining bright.
To the Governor-General, Mysore, March the 27th, 1799. Sir, We have engaged and defeated the enemy. We charge with fixed bayonets. Thereupon his Marathas rode at us. But Tipu failed to use his artillery to support them, and we had them run in after a very fierce engagement. We then took his capital by assault. Tipu himself was slain in the battle. Apart from the fact that his pet tigers have escaped from his private zoo and caused some panic, there is little else to report. The troops behaved very badly and plundered the town. I instantly restored order. In doing so, I have, I fear, offended Major General Baird.
Oh, my God! Why did he do that? Why offend Baird?
Shall I continue, Your Excellency?
Yes, please do, Swine.
Years before, Major General Baird had been a prisoner of the Tipu and wanted revenge. I could not allow that. We British have to live on in India. As I say, Baird is my senior officer and is, I fear, much offended.
Does he know nothing of diplomacy? No, Smythe, he does not. He most emphatically does not. But we shall have to suffer that lack in him. A magnificent victory. He may not be a genius, he may not even be a hero, but the bloody fellow does win battles. He wins battles.
My dearest, how wonderful to see you. A hero. The whole town is saying it. Is Arthur not a hero, Uncle?
Yes, indeed. I congratulate you, sir. In Dublin, too, there is rejoicing for one of Ireland's sons.
Well, so there should be. The London mob pursued my son to these very doors yesterday afternoon.
Indeed. Now, Kitty, how pretty you look.
Now, Arthur, how handsome you look.
If these two young people can stop laughing and looking in one another's eyes, I might be able to give everyone a dish of tea in a civilized fashion.
But aren't you excited, Lady Mornington?
I had all my excitement yesterday, Catherine, when that mob dirtied my doorstep and threw my maids into hysterics with their noise and clamour. Tea, sir.
I thank you.
But they were simply celebrating Arthur's return after all his victories.
Quite so.
I had none of that with my elder son, Richard. And he is Governor General of India.
Some would say there wouldn't be any India at all if the army hadn't won the day.
Catherine, tea. Please help yourself to bonbons. Arthur, do not fold your bread in that fashion. You're not on the battlefield now.
No? Could have sworn I smelt cordite. Can you smell cordite, Kitty? Can it be the clash of battle, the Pakenhams versus the Wellesleys? Which church? How much? When?
Arthur, really? That is most improper.
Indeed it is. But on behalf of my son, who seems to have lost his manners, my apologies, sir.
Accepted, ma'am. Accepted. No offence taken, or I'm sure meant.
Oh, Uncle, really? You are so funny.
Easy, Kitty, easy.
I'm sorry, I apologise, everybody. I seem to be behaving very foolishly today. I'm sure it's the excitement. It's been so many years since Arthur and I last saw one another.
Yes, well, I wonder, sir, if you and I should excuse these two young people. They no doubt have much to discuss, as indeed we do.
Oh, but of course, an excellent thought, Lady Mornington.
Come then.
Young people, did you hear your mamma? Arthur, we are both over 30.
Ain't old. On the other hand, ain't young. Fed up with this polite tea. I expect Mama keeps some port in this retiring room somewhere. In here, probably. No.
Try that drawer there.
In here. God, yes. Two glasses, too.
But I never drink port.
Nor do I, but today we do. Trust Mama to hide it well.
You don't really like her, do you, Arthur? Not really.
Of course I do. She's my mother. What an odd thing to say.
Is it? I don't know. I don't find her very relaxing.
Relaxing? Oh, well, she ain't dead, I grant you. To us.
Oh, it's sweet. It's really quite nice, isn't it?
You're supposed to sip port, Kitty, not drink it. It isn't water.
Oh, well, fiddle-dee-bee. Come and sit by me.
Ah. Right. Oh, there you are.
Put your arm round me, Arthur.
Like this?
That will do very well. You can kiss me if you like, you know. I'm sure it's proper, since we'll be engaged very soon.
Can't very well do that and drink me port, can I?
People say you have no sense of humour, but I think, I know you're a joker.
I deny it, most emphatic.
You know what else I think? I think you make yourself out to be the very essence of a soldier. Just like the newspaper cartoons of you. Nosy, victor of a say. But I don't think that's you at all. Or not all of you.
Ain't it?
No. Nor the stories I hear.
What stories are those?
That, like most soldiers in foreign parts, you dally with fallen women.
Deny that too.
Well, all men have their weaknesses, especially soldiers. But I think, under all that, you're really quite sensitive and imaginative and romantic.
You mean I'm a sort of actor fellow?
In a way, perhaps. Well, your dear papa was a musician. They still talk much of him in Dublin. They say how artistic he was.
Do they?
He would have been proud of you, Arthur, I'm sure, were he here to see your success.
No. I doubt that, Kitty. He wanted me to be something other than what I am. But I couldn't do it even for him. I would have liked to please his memory, but no, he wouldn't have been overproud of me, not overproud.
How sad you sound, Arthur.
I do, don't I, damn it. What a way to behave. And I seem to have finished this port.
Well, so you do. Oh, Arthur. I do love you. Very much. Kiss me again.
May I ask the name, sir?
Indeed you may, since you don't know it.
Lord Castlereagh has many appointments with officers of rank. We're always very busy at the War Office, sir.
My name's Wellesley, Sir Arthur Wellesley.
Ah, yes, sir, now I know, sir. The victor of Assaye, to be sure. In India, is it not?
Indeed it is. As the Prime Minister's out of London, I sent a letter to my Lord Castlereagh. He is expecting me, I take it?
Oh, yes, Sir Arthur, you're down for 3 o'clock.
It is 3 o'clock.
Ah, but my Lord is a little behindhand. If you would not mind taking a seat in the anteroom, I know he'll see you as soon as he can, sir.
Mm. Through, yeah?
Yes, sir, if you would, sir.
Afternoon to you, sir. It is my Lord Nelson.
You waiting on Castlereagh as well?
The waiting's the worst part of it.
Worse than waiting to fight.
You carry the loss of the arm well, sir.
I thank you, sir. I cannot say, but it is a damn nuisance nonetheless. But as a serving officer, one has to put up with these trifling inconveniences and serve one's sovereign as best one can, don't you agree?
Don't seem to envy you with Johnny Frenchman.
But Johnny Frenchman's a very smart sailor. I wouldn't want you to think otherwise. He's got most of Europe, and I have to say, you army fellas are doing damn little to stop him. And being for the Navy, I think Bonaparte would be sitting here in London right now.
I disagree.
You do?
Certainly I do.
May I ask why, sir?
The naval battles matter, I don't dispute it.
Matter?
But Bonaparte's no sailor, he's a soldier. And when he is brought low, it'll have to be on land. Your victories, wonderful as they are simply bought us time.
Well, thank you, sir, at least for that. You seem to have a very strong opinion on these matters.
No, it's the plain truth. You've done well, damn well, but the fat little fella's still there, trotting about Europe, making himself emperor of this and that, and his relatives, princes and whatnot. Next thing, he'll fight the Russians. If he beats them, then he's unassailable, sir. Unassailable.
Well, sir, unassailable or not, I can tell you one thing. He has a fleet left begging to invade these islands, and he might do it, yeah?
Just what I said, my lord. Now.
You'll excuse me a moment, General.
Aye. If my Lord Castlereagh wants you, I'll call out.
Yes, my lord. Is there something I can do for you, sir?
Who the devil is that fella waiting in there?
Sir Arthur, sir. Victor of Assaye. Sir Arthur Wellesley.
Good God, is he?
My dear Wellesley, I had no idea it was you. My dear fella, allow me to shake your hand.
No idea I had to ask. A sailor meets nobody, General. On shipboard all the time. Well, I'll be damned, the victor of Assaye. Didn't even know you back from India.
Got back last week.
And ready to go to work today.
No point in wasting time.
Spoken like the man I expected to meet. Do you come back from India a rich man? Most do, I'm told.
Not rich, but with a sufficiency. I was in penury when I went out and had only my pay.
All I've ever had, no opportunity for more for a sailor.
But one hears tales of India, of money.
I expect my 8 year service in India has earned me about 6 months of my Lord Castlereagh's income.
My dear fellow, I'd settle for that.
But you're right, of course. The fat little fellow will have to be defeated on land.
But how can it ever happen?
It has to happen. Well, we are done. Europe's done.
Prussia stands aloof, though.
The Prussians will stand aloof until it suits them not to.
And what of Boney?
Well, sir, the fellow's a military genius. Oh, yes, there's no doubt of that.
Then there's no hope against him.
There's hope. It's dogged as does it.
Not my style. I believe in a bold strike. An attack the enemy doesn't expect.
At sea, with a brief battle, I can see the sense of that. On land, Bonaparte has the big battalions. Indeed, he boasts God is on the side of the big battalions, and he's always going to have more men than we do.
What then, sir, can you do?
I haven't fought against his army since Holland, but his tactics don't change. The Frenchies come at you in a column, but first they try their cannon on you. So you need troops as won't run, daren't run.
Frenchies are excellent gunners in my experience.
Not if they can't see you.
You've lost me, sir.
Not if most of your troops are on the reverse side of a hill, an incline, anything that keeps you out of sight of their gunners.
So they fire, but don't know if they're having any success.
Right. Then the Frenchies come on anyway, straight at you. Now, a column of men, say a battalion of 600 muskets, because they're in a column, only the men at the front can fire if they're on the move at you.
Yes, yes.
Well, sir, if you have your battalion of 600 muskets spread out in a line, one or two soldiers deep, then you have 600 muskets firing at them all at once.
I see, one or two. That's very thin.
Three soldiers deep, if need be, so long as they can all fire at command.
And then, if that halts them, you charge with the bayonet.
One charge, then back you go and resume your position.
Don't you follow up your advantage?
No, because it ain't an advantage any longer. You go back and reform, and you stand there exactly as you stood at the start, and you wait for them to try again, which, being the Frenchies, they will.
How long do you wait before you fire?
As long as you can, 20, 30 yards maybe.
My God, sir. If they get to you...
They won't. The old Brown Bess is a fine musket. And if they do get real close, there's my new bayonet drill. Each soldier thrusting across his neighbour. Across. Not directly in front. A wall of steel, sir.
Wellesley, if I was a soldier, sir, I believe I'd serve under you.
Likewise, if I were a sailor. But I have to tell you, I'm a rotten sailor. Sick like a dog back from India and worse going out. I'd give a medal to every fellow that fights at sea and two to an admiral.
Medals. I rattle with them. So do you. And I'm also seasick.
What, sir?
Always. In the end, the men earn the medals for us, Arthur.
Do I see a decanter of port on that side table?
You do. Expect it's my Lord Castlereagh.
Fair damn to that. Let's drink a toast, sir.
Since you've been so confidential with me, let me tell you my own plan. I hope to bring the French fleet to battle very soon and to destroy it. For if I don't, you'll never get a Bonaparte on land. Never.
Then I wish you victory, sir.
Aye, it must be to victory. This is a very decent port. Let's have another glass, shall we, sir? We drink to your command against the French.
Yeah. Oh, we might as well, since I don't have a command and probably won't get one from my Lord Castlereagh. The money the fella pays us, he owes us a decent glass of port, what? To your battle, sir, and to victory.
Aye, to victory.
Poor dear Lord Nelson, such achievements, and then such a death, and such a funeral.
Only spoke to him a short while ago, talked for an hour, got to talk for a day with profit, and now the poor fellow's gone.
So many ships surrendered, Arthur, and the rest fled. There's no possibility of invasion now.
Bonaparte's still there, a colossus astride Europe. One after another, they bend the knee to him. Spain, Portugal, Austria, Prussia even.
Please, Arthur, let us not discuss the war any further. Let us rather talk of our wedding.
Not today. It would not be fitting. We've lost a great Englishman.
Yes, of course. But soon, the family are agreed. We are all agreed on the place, the church, the day. I'm very happy, Arthur.
Me too, my dear. I couldn't believe it when I heard you'd never had any admirers all the time I was in India.
I never wanted admirers, Arthur. Only you. So, do we make arrangements?
Of course we do, of course we do. Whatever your family wants.
Oh, Arthur. I'll go and talk to my uncle.
Now, thanks to you, Horatio, maybe I can get at the fat little fella on land.
Steady, lads! Hold your fire, gentlemen! Let them come on! Let the Frenchies come on! Let them come at us and pay for the privilege, lads!
50 paces now, General.
Stand firm, lads! Steady!
40 now, sir!
Let them come on, lads! Take them! Steady! Steady! Now, Fitz, now!
Fire! Fire!
Ned, get those details written down.
Sir.
Fitz, letter to me, dear wife.
Sir.
Dear Kitty, Messina is an old fox.
Yeah, an old fox.
The damn Frenchie's as cautious as I am.
Cautious as I am.
Damn his eyes.
No,
cross that curse out. What the devil can I say to her about battles?
Why not tell her about your triumph in Salamanca?
No. Let Ned tell her. The fellow's a brother.
I think she'd like it from you, General.
Damn me, I can't do that. Sounds too boastful.
Let me try, sir. Your entry into Madrid, perhaps?
No. You write it, Ned.
Write what, sir?
Letter to Kitty.
What about?
Anything you damn please. Fitz will tell you. Give Kitty my love. Excuse me, gentlemen. Things to do.
Things to do. When does he not? When does he not?
That great big long-nosed bugger, he stands and he fights in a line. And if only wants to charge him, he says that'll do me fine. Boney can charge him as long as he wants. He'll still be standing there with his line of redcoat soldiers in a sturdy English square.
Boys! Boys!
Coming, Mama.
Your father has won a great victory in Spain. Your Uncle Ned has written an excellent description of the battle. Listen to this.
The troops call him Nosy, Mama.
What?
Sometimes they call him the long-nosed bugger.
Dick, really?
They mean it nicely, Mama.
So I should hope. And never let me hear that language from you again, young man. Now out! Out, both of you! Back to the garden!
It's what they do call him, Kitty.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
How very strange. I never noticed his nose, Richard. Isn't it odd? All those soldiers prepared to die for Arthur.
They love him, you know. I mean, he is the first general who has ever won a battle against the French.
And yet your friends in Parliament don't seem very happy.
Well, the Whigs aren't too pleased because he's a Tory. And some of the Tories aren't either.
Richard, you will look out for him when you go out to Portugal, won't you?
I will deliver any letter you give me into his own hand, I promise.
It's all I ever do, write letters. We don't see him often enough to seem like a family. It's been years since he was last home. And for how long? A week? Oh, Richard, if I didn't laugh, I'd cry.
Yes, Kitty, I know.
Oh, I don't know what it is. I try very hard. But even when we're together...
It's how he is. Nobody expected anything of him. Mama didn't, I didn't. Maybe Papa did, I don't know. But we were wrong, all of us. Maybe to be a great general, you need to be cool. Cold, even. And I think he is a great general. And it isn't enough to be a good soldier, to do everything by the book. You need to be what Arthur very nearly was, I suppose. Somebody with the imagination to feel what his soldiers feel, to feel what his enemy feels. Able to put himself in their shoes. I sometimes think he's like an actor in a play, acting the great commander. And yet he is a great commander. Oh, it's all very, very peculiar, really.
You know, I once said something very like that to him myself, a long time ago.
And what did he say?
I can't remember. Oh, yes. He said, "Dammy, I've finished my port."
What?
That's right. "Dammy, I've finished my port." That's what he said.
Well, it's exactly what he would say, isn't it?
A letter to my wife, Fitz, if you please. Usual felicitations. Tell her we've fought old General Soult to a standstill and he's run home to France, his tail between his legs.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Ned, just the fellow I wanted to see. Ned, you write to Kitty and tell her what's been happening, will you? I've got this damn board at the prefecture tonight.
I think she'd rather you wrote, Arthur, even if it was only
All my letters sound like dispatches. You do it.
Tell you what, now they've made me a duke. She wanted that. She don't like the title, though. Tell her I say it's as good as any other. Damn nuisance, this ball tonight.
They wish to honour you, sir. The victor of
Spain. The victor of Spain. Yes, I know that, but I'd rather they didn't. Everybody will get drunk. It'll be a shambles.
I'll write the letter, sir, tomorrow. I insist you must come to the ball first.
Oh, well, all right, Ned.
Does he realise he's just beaten Napoleon's army into the ground, that the Emperor has nothing left?
He hasn't beaten Napoleon himself in the field, though, has he?
Well, who has? Except the Russians. Anyway, does that matter, that he beats Napoleon in the field?
I think it does to him.
Well, if Bonaparte has any of his army left, he might get the chance.
I hope they give him a good reception tonight. You know, he's been on horseback every day at dawn for 5 years, ridden 20 or 30 miles every day, in or out of battle, besides everything else he does.
He needs some fun.
My dear Fitz, if you're waiting for old Nosey to have some fun, you'll die waiting. Come on, let's go to this ball. Will there be women there?
Hundreds, I'm told.
Then come along, sir, before they're all gone.
This has gone on long enough, Ned. Everybody's drunk. British, Spaniards, Portuguese. Past my bedtime. Can I go now?
No, sir. Not without giving offence, sir.
Damn it, I don't care about that. Got their countries back, ain't they? Done that for them. Don't have to sit through all this noise. It's worse than the battlefield. What is it, Fitz?
Wonderful news, sir. Gentlemen! Gentlemen! This is a note addressed to the general, but since I know he would just fold it up and put it in his pocket if I give it to him, I propose to read it out.
Fitz, have you gone mad or what?
The note is from Paris, signed by our ambassador, and it reads, "Glory be to God, a great man has fallen. Gentlemen, Napoleon Bonaparte has abdicated."
Well, I'm damned. Better order champagne, I suppose.
A toast. Wellington, liberator of Spain.
Wellington, liberator of Portugal.
Wellington, liberator of France.
Wellington, liberator of Europe.
Well, General, what do you say?
Speech!
I say don't send for champagne. You've all had too much already. Send for coffee. Yes, coffee.
Of Alexander and some of Hercules, of Hector and Lysander and such great names as these. But of all the world's brave heroes, there's none that can compare with a tow, row, 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 row to the British Grenadiers.
Well, mother-in-law, at last we have our hero back home.
No, I wouldn't exactly call living in Paris home. Dreadful smells everywhere.
A hero goes where he is sent.
British ambassador in Paris, where the French hate the sight of the man who conquered them. And the government at home afraid of dear Arthur's popularity. Some way to treat a hero.
Mama, he is a duke, is he not?
Certainly he is. And it is little enough. Do you not agree, Ned?
He rids Europe of Napoleon Bonaparte and he gets an ambassadorship he doesn't want. He has a field marshal's baton from the Prince Regent. But his great army that wins his battles for him is sent every man jack damn near to fight in the Americas. It's as if none of it ever happened.
Oh, but it did. And England is grateful.
Ah, well, let us hope so, madam. How do you find him these days?
As ever.
Too thin. Eats nothing.
He's been eating nothing for 5 years or more. All day in the saddle, up at dawn. And we all had to do it, too. God, it's good to just sit in a chair and stretch your legs.
Don't get too accustomed to it, Ned.
What?
The little fat fellow's escaped from Elba.
No.
He landed at Antibes. He'll be no doubt gathering an army around him, probably his old guard under Marshal Ney, and marched through Lyon to Paris. The French king has fled. All France is rising for him. Seemingly, they found peace very boring.
Here? They'll be here?
Yes, in 2 weeks, Napoleon will be in Paris.
What do we do, Arthur?
You go home, Mama, too, at once. Ned?
Sir?
We have work.
Yes, sir. Where will we fight him, even supposing he can raise an army?
Oh, we'll have an army, but my God, it'll be a ragbag. Ladies, excuse me.
Arthur!
Ned!
Coming, sir. Goodbye, dear sister.
Lady Mornington.
Well!
There he is, the long-nosed bugger himself.
Is that him asleep in his chair? Don't look much, do he?
Your life depends on him tomorrow.
Been in his army long, have you?
Be with Nosey at Salamanca, right through the peninsula. A Victoria where you never see such plunder. And now with him again. Back from the Americas, I be. There'd be damn few of us.
Can we beat Boney?
If we don't, lad, we're dead mutton.
Oh, I wish I was back in Seven Dials.
Why'd you leave then?
Well, because I had no girl to go out and walk the streets for me.
A pimp, was you?
Well, in a way, yes.
Yeah, don't worry about it, son. Tomorrow you'll be an hero.
Hey, you, Sergeant.
Sir, I thought you were a Sikh, sir.
Don't I know you?
Salamanca, sir.
Damn it, you're one of Picton's men.
Have that honour, sir.
Go and find Major Fitzbrien, will you? Should be outside the door somewhere.
Sir!
You, sentry. Rank and name.
Sir, Private Smith, sir. 51st, sir.
How long in the army?
3 months, sir.
Well, you'll see enough fighting this next few days to last your lifetime, eh? Eh?
Yes, sir.
Ready for it, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. God bless you, sir.
We'll both need his blessing tomorrow. But we do our duty, eh? Both of us.
Yes, sir.
Major Fitzbrien, sir.
You sent for me, sir.
How's the ball going, Fitz?
Every officer's dancing, as ordered, General.
Good, good. The troops?
All getting ready to march to the field, all already gone. Stop that noise, soldier.
No, let the fellow play, Fitz. Let him play. You know the saying, bid me discourse and I will enchant thine ear? Well, music does that for me, always has. It's an enchantment, you see, Fitz. More enchanting than any woman. A woman gets to the flesh of a man, but music gets to the soul. If a man has no feeling for music, then he has no soul. For me, loss of music has been like the loss of a limb. All these years on the battlefield and in the saddle and the bivouac, like a limb that's withered from lack of use, Fitz. I've missed the uplifting grace of music, the love and passion of it. Oh, yes, I've missed all that, Fitz. Play on, Sergeant.
Sir.
Fitz, come and listen to the waltz.
Sir.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Know why I let them dance, my young bloods?
I've wondered, sir.
Wonder why I didn't order a night march? That would have looked like panic, so my young bloods dance and do without their sleep, and fight all the better for it. Last dance they'll ever have, many of them.
You expect heavy losses?
They're outnumbered.
The Prussians under Blücher are marching to our aid, sir.
So long as they're on time to help. Got a feeling they'll be late. Got a feeling we'll be fighting the Frenchies on our own for a long time. So, it all depends on...
Sir?
Smith!
Sir!
Ready, are you?
Ready as ever was, sir.
Thank you, Smith.
Sir!
It all depends on that article. The British soldier.
And you, sir.
Oh, I and me.
Where will you make a stand, sir? Do you have anywhere picked out yet?
A place I reconnoitred last summer. Don't know why. I had a feeling I might fight there one day.
I don't suppose there's a reverse slope to hide our infantry, sir, away from the French gunners?
Oh, there's that, Fitz, and a wood behind to retreat into if we have to, and no way of flanking us on either side.
You've fought the battle in your head, sir. Already.
I've fought Boney 12 times, 100 times in my head, but never on the field, Fitz. Never on the field. All I can hope for is that he fights as he always has.
Boney was a warrior, way, hey, ah. A warrior, a terrier, John Francois.
Well, my Lord Uxbridge, there's a sight.
Indeed, sir. All the pomp of France laid out like a table. My God, sir, can our fellows stand against that?
They have to stand, sir, or we're done. But I grant you, our army's a rough lot. I inspected them this morning, and I don't know what they'll do to the enemy, but by God, they frighten me.
Do we attack at all, sir?
Not until we have them running. Till then, we stand and let them come at us.
Will Boney do that? Come at us, like all his generals have?
I don't know, Axbridge. But time's on my side. I can wait. As long as he likes, I can wait. He doesn't know where the Prussians are, so he has to attack me before they get here.
'Twas on the plains of Waterloo, way, hey, the big-nosed bugger put him through, John Francois.
General, the men insist on loading the powder in the muskets by banging them on the ground. Most unsoldierly. They should use their ramrods. It's regulations.
Be damned to regulations. Don't forbid it. If it's quicker than it is, it's better. Understood?
Yes, sir. Let the men carry on, sir.
Sir!
Where the devil are the Prussians? That's my concern, sir.
12 miles away in a bog, so I've just heard.
My God!
Old Blucher will get them here.
In time?
That I can't tell you, Uxbridge. But when they do come, they'll come on Bonaparte's flank. He'll know that.
If they come.
Aye, if they come. Now then, let's just ride slowly around the squares. Let the lads see us.
Sir! General, sir!
Aye, ensign, what is it?
Compliments to the Colonel of Sharpshooters, my lord. We have the Emperor in our sights. Permission to fire, sir!
Permission denied! Damn me, we can't have that. Commanding generals shooting at each other. Understood, ensign?
Sir! Yes, sir!
Good, carry on.
Boney marched to Waterloo, way hey ya. There he met his overthrow, John Francois.
Well, sir, here they come. He's throwing in the old guard.
It's his last card. All this time I've waited to fight him, and damn me, the fellow's only a pounder.
He could get pounders flat, sir. Those damn cannon are playing the very devil with our squares.
They are, but we must close ranks and stand and suffer it.
Sir, is it wise to ride outside of our squares?
Not wise, sir, but necessary. I have to be where the men can see me.
French cavalry can see us as well. Damn near had us an hour ago.
Don't worry, Uxbridge. The battle goes well enough.
We've lost very heavy, General.
Think of what he's lost. The whole army, maybe. Be desperate to play his last big card as soon as this.
When can we charge, General? When do we have arms?
Soon, lad, soon. Oh, hello there, Smith. All well?
Well enough, my lord. But we're sick of standing here, sir. We want Adam.
Right, lads.
All in good time. I'll tell you when, lads. Here they come again. Stand fast, men. Stand fast.
Stand fast, he says. God blimey. I've been doing that 6 hours now without a drop of water or a biscuit.
You wouldn't have time to eat them. Here comes the old guard again, Boney's very best. Oh, my bonny lads, we are waiting for you.
God, look at them. We got them piled up dead in heaps, we got them, and still they come on. When do we fire?
And we're told to, lad. Hold steady.
They're only 40 paces now.
Let them get to 30.
Hold your fire, lads. Wait for the order.
All right, hurry him.
Look, he ain't afraid. Been on the field all day, he has.
Come on, save fire for God's sake.
He keeps coming on. Why, he's done for. The old guard's done for.
Because he's nothing to lose now, sir.
Except the best army in Europe. But they're broken, Uxbridge. They're broken.
Good God, sir. The leg's been blown off.
Good God, Uxbridge. So it has.
He met the Duke of Wellington away. Hey, the day his downfall had begun. Jean-Francois.
Hold fast, lads. Wait for the order now. Stand up, guards.
Up, guards! Huzzah! Huzzah!
Fire!
Fire!
Boney's broken and running. He's going back. Can we loose the cavalry on him, sir?
Do you know, Fitz? I think we can.
It's forward all ranks, sir. General advance, sir.
Yes, it's a general advance, Fitz. Sound the general advance, will you? There's a good fellow.
They sent him into exile, way hey ya. He died on St. Helena's Isle, John Francois.
It's him.
Help us, General, sir.
Lie quiet, lads. The doctors will be with you soon. Save your strength. Well done, my lad. Smith. Is it you, Smith?
Aye, sir. It is.
I told you you'd get your share of it today.
Aye, you did, sir.
Where are you hit?
I've taken the foot off, sir.
Damn it.
Sir?
When you get home, come and see me, Smith. But rest now. Rest now, lads. We lost a lot, but the Frenchies lost more.
Aye, sir. Thank you, sir.
40,000 French dead and wounded in an area of 3 square miles, Fitz. My God, it's been a butcher's shop. How's the arm?
It'll mend, sir.
What news of Uxbridge?
He'll live, sir. Won't let them throw his leg away. Says he's going to bury it with full honours.
Is he serious?
Never more.
My God, I think the battle's driven us all mad.
Here's the list of our casualties, sir.
Lost. So there's killed and wounded. Every dead. I tell you, it's been a damn nice thing. The nearest run thing you ever saw in your life.
Well, sir, we won. We had peace in Europe for 100 years, maybe.
But all these good fellows gone. I tell you, next to a battle lost, the greatest misery on this earth is a battle won.
Well, brother, you cannot say the government and people of this great country have been ungenerous. All these celebrations in your honour.
I do not say it.
A dukedom? £600,000 in a fine country estate in Hampshire? Your field marshal's pay? £50,000 as your share of the peninsula prize money, and the same for Waterloo. And still you eat cold meats and drink sparing.
Damn it, I like cold meats.
Dearest Richard, you will never get my hero to be anything but his plain and glorious self.
My dear, please, not so much gush.
Oh, Kitty's right. You should put on more of a show, Arthur. You are the most famous man in England.
Even more famous than Richard, Mama.
Now, Kitty, Richard is my superior as a scholar and a thinker any day. I just happen to be a decent soldier when England needed me.
Now, Arthur, what will you do with the rest of your life? You're not yet 50.
Damned if I know. Ride to hounds, perhaps?
You hate country pursuits, you know you do.
Rotten shot, that's why. Last time I went shooting, I hit 2 beaters and an old lady.
Politics. That's the thing for you, Kitty, don't you agree?
Mama, Arthur must make up his own mind. I had thought he could lead a less adventurous life than before. All these ladies, high and low, throwing themselves at him in the most shameless way.
Ain't noticed them if they have, me dear. Where are they?
You know very well where they are, Arthur. In their boudoirs, waiting for you to visit them, for all I hear.
Catherine, my dear.
Well, I'm damned. Where'd you hear that?
From just about everybody, sir.
Just talk, talk. That's all tittle-tattle.
Arthur, may I have a private word?
With pleasure. I don't think all this talk gets about.
Oh, Kitty, why? You must restrain yourself, dear.
Arthur knows my feelings. He's a fool to a pretty face. And I dare say always has been. There are a number of ladies of society on whom I'm told he calls. And some ladies not of society. Some ladies of a very bad reputation indeed, Mama.
Kitty, you're a duchess now. Behave like one. No man can become as famous as your dear husband without women competing with each other for his attention.
But, Mama, I am his wife.
And you'll remain his wife as long as you ignore his foolishness.
If that were all it was...
Well, of course it is. Arthur likes to seem a rake, but he isn't one. It's all gallantry and romance with Arthur, and it soon passes when he realizes that these creatures are of flesh and blood.
Well, they are certainly that, from all I hear.
My dear, do not believe all that you hear.
It is very hard, Mama. Oh. I love him very much. He is my hero. I would have him perfect.
Well, he ain't perfect, Kitty. What man is?
Arthur, you must be more careful. There's a lot of talk about various ladies of the town.
Women are attracted to me by my fame and the excitements of my life. None of them love me.
Well, it don't upset Kitty too much, that's all.
Nothing can upset Kitty. If she can spend money, she's content.
Perhaps she'd spend less if you were home.
I don't have a moment to myself. Never mind Kitty. I'm in demand for every damn thing there is, be it a ball or a prime minister.
Now, well, in that connection, Arthur, the Tories are desperate to have you. They assure me a cabinet post is yours for the asking.
Well, I know something of administration, but I'd say...
There will be no more wars to fight, Arthur, for a long time, and they want you. Very much.
Well, then, let me think on it. Perhaps I do need to spend more time at home.
The Duke of Wellington, Your Majesty.
My Lord Duke, how are you?
Well, Your Majesty. And yourself, sire?
Only moderate. Barely moderate. I said,
You eat too much, sire.
And don't take enough exercise, I know, I know.
But it is true, sire, and I only say it for your own good.
Oh, spare me, please, my lord duke. One of the great pleasures in life is a good breakfast. Now, what news of the reform bill? Is it defeated?
Indeed it is not. Nor will it be, I fear.
As bad as that?
Worse. They'll have it through the House by the next recess.
Oh, and I thought when they made you Prime Minister, they'd give you your way in all things. You were their hero.
Was, sire. They boo and catcall me in the streets these days. Booed me on the anniversary of Waterloo.
I know. It's worse than being king.
If I'd known what it meant to be Prime Minister, I'd never have taken it on. 2 years of absolute misery. I had to get out of the job.
You should never have resigned in November.
I had no choice. They want this reform business.
Now, how will this bill affect us?
Not much, sire. Might affect them that come after you.
Oh, well, I dare say they can look after themselves.
I said to Parliament, why are you all so keen on the reform bill? I said, half of you won't be in this place next year. I know the argument. Manchester, a big city of 500,000 people, has 2 members of Parliament, while some little villages of a few hundred souls return 2 members. I know all that. But have you considered what it'll mean, I asked them? It'll mean the aristocracy don't rule for themselves anymore. It'll mean they rule in the name of the people. You call that reform? I say it'll lead to revolution.
Surely not.
A lot of people oppose parliamentary reform because it's contrary to their interests. That isn't my point, Your Majesty.
No, then what is?
Once you admit that popular representation of the people is the important thing, then the next thing is votes for everybody.
Oh, dear.
That could mean the end of the monarchy.
As bad as that?
But it won't happen for a long time yet, sir.
Oh, thank God. Oh, by the by, is your dear wife's health improved?
I fear not, sire.
Oh, it is serious, then.
I fear so. There is a bad fever.
A fever? Poor Kitty. Poor dear Kitty. You do give her my deepest sympathy.
Sire.
Revolution. I say, Wellington, I hope you're wrong about that.
The Chartists ran and the Chartists ran all over the green country, oh. They call for bread, but they get instead a stone and a blow for their answer, oh. A stone and a blow for their answer.
Hello, Fitz. What brings you to Apsley House?
I'm afraid it's...
worse?
The doctors have been here all afternoon.
I'll go up to her now.
I'm afraid, sir... you're too late.
Oh, no. Poor dear Kitty. I'll just go and sit with her a while.
Yes, sir. Is that the mob out in the streets?
They're breaking windows. Those that haven't got their lights on to signify they approve of the reform bill.
Then I'll order the lamps lit at once.
Indeed you will not. My wife is dead, and I'll sit with her devoutly and in the dark.
But, sir...
And you'll place a servant on each window with a musket. If anyone attacks the house, shoot.
Oh, my God, is it as bad as that?
It could be. Who knows?
No. I'm very sorry, sir. About my lady.
I'll go up to her now. Very still and quiet lying there, Kitty. Like a young girl at those dances in Dublin all those years ago. I'm sorry I wasn't a better husband to you. I'm sorry if I acted foolish sometimes. Especially with the ladies. It didn't mean anything. Not really. I always loved you. Even if you spent too much money and gushed too much. Your heart was in the right place. And I know you thought a lot of me, no matter what I did. All on your own. Me, away in India, in Spain, fighting Boney all those years. More apart than together. You understood me and let me be. Which is a damn sight more than Mama ever did. Though at times I thought you were getting a mite like her.
No. You let me be, and that's as much as any man can ask of a woman.
Stones. Shall I
light
the lamp?
Damn me, no!
Sir, shoot!
Do nothing! They'll go!
I don't think they will, sir.
They will. They will.
Is that you, my boy?
Yes, Father.
Where are we? Miles away. I was miles away.
You were sleeping, Father. We're halfway home.
But where have I been?
To see Queen Victoria about some sparrows.
What?
Sparrows.
Ah, yes, sparrows. What about them?
I don't know. You talked to her about them.
Did I?
So you said.
When?
When you were at the palace.
When was I at the palace?
Just now.
Was I? Oh, yes. So I was. You know, I just dreamt about Waterloo. A lot clearer than if I was there.
Was it?
I saw everybody's face. All my dead friends. All of them.
It was just a dream, Father.
All that, the battle, I remember it clear as day. I dream and I'm there. But what came after, the politics, I have to be awake to remember very much about them.
Well, you were Prime Minister twice, Father.
So I was, and a damn bad one, too. I fought them on the Reform Bill, but they took no notice. Then they damn near got revolution. Peterloo, the Chartists. Even got me out of harness to stop them. Wasn't necessary, thank God. No need for troops.
You're not to remember such things.
Why not? They happened. I went from being the most popular man in England to being the most unpopular all in 10 years. And when I retired, I went back to being the most popular man in England again.
And so you remain, Papa. The ordinary people know there's nobody like you.
Do they? Well, maybe. But my friends are gone. Gone years ago. There's damn few at the Waterloo anniversary dinner these days. They're all gone. And I'll soon be gone myself.
Nonsense. You've few years yet, Father.
Nelson's in St. Paul's, you know. I wouldn't mind that. St. Paul's. Me and him. That licked old bony between us. Now that'd be fitting. That'd be most remarkably fitting. Did you know, I once played the violin. Yeah. Not a bad hand at it, either. My old father would have liked me to have been a musician. But I gave it up. What would have happened at Waterloo if I'd been fiddling in some salon somewhere? So maybe he'll forgive me for giving it up. You have to give up a lot of things. If you want to be the most popular man in England...
Nosey is a long-nosed bugger, what can certainly beat the French? There's nobody else can do it, they runs like a frightened wench. The Russians and the Prussians can't do it, they throws down their arms and flees. That great big long-nosed bugger, he fears no artillery.
John Rowe played Wellington in Nosey by Alan Pryor. His father, Dennis Hawthorne, his mother, Elizabeth Proud, his brother, Michael Cochrane, Fitzbrian, Crawford Logan, Catherine, Helena Breck, her uncle, John Gabriel, and Queen Victoria, Sue Broomfield. Uxbridge and the Sergeant Major, Michael Kilgariff, Ensign and Officer, Nicholas Gilbrook, Dick, Joe Dunlop, Nelson, Christopher Good, Ned, Stephen Garlick, Wellington as a boy, Alistair White, Old Soldier, John Bull, Cockney Sentry, Paul Downing, and King William IV was played by Roger Hammond.
That great big long-nosed bugger, he stands and he fights in a line, and if Boney wants to charge him, he says that'll do me fine. Boney can charge him as long as he wants, he'll still be standing there with his line of red-coat soldiers in a sturdy English square.
The songs selected and performed by Maddie Pryor and Rick Camp. The violinist was Perry Montague Mason. Nosey was directed by Martin Jenkins.